I want you to turn with me to Psalm 96 and then Matthew chapter 6. Psalm 96 and then Matthew chapter 6. We've been looking these Sunday mornings at the pattern prayer. I'm sure that you would agree with me when I say and have said that prayer is perhaps the area in our Christian life that we find the most difficult. And yet the disciples came to the Lord Jesus on one occasion after watching him at the place of prayer, and it motivated them to say, Lord, teach us to pray. And of course, the Lord Jesus led before them not the Lord's prayer, but the disciples' prayer, or the pattern prayer. And he gives us that pattern prayer in Matthew chapter 6. And I believe he repeats it on a different occasion in Luke's record in his gospel. We're reading this morning from, first of all, Psalm 96, please, and verse 1. Psalm 96 and verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. That's what we're thinking about this morning. What's in a name? Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad, let the sea thereof roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth, he shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. And then flick over to Matthew chapter 6, please. The Gospel by Matthew, chapter 6. And reading at verse 9, and we have come to our third study this morning on this pattern prayer, and I want to talk to you on the subject, what's in a name? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Need I remind you again that these are the words of the Lord Jesus? And so what we're looking at this morning is not only an inspired part of the Word of God, but these are the very words of Christ himself. He wants to teach us to pray. And so he says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let's keep our Bibles open there at Matthew chapter 6. What's in a name? I heard about a college student who was the very first person in his family to go to college or university. When someone in the university or college offered this student illegal drugs, they said to him, go ahead, try it. It'll make you feel good. The student refused point blank. The drug keeper, the drug dealer kept pushing at him, kept annoying him. He said, don't be so upright. Don't be so good. No one is going to know that you've tried a little dope and that you've got a little high. That's not the point, said the student. The point is that my mother cleaned houses. She washed floors. She worked hard to send me to this college. And I am here because of my mother. And I would never do anything that would demean her sacrifice for me. Do you know what that student was doing? He was hallowing his mother's name. Now, what's in a name? That's what Shakespeare asked in Romeo and Juliet. He said, that which we call a rose by any other name could smell as sweet. What he was saying was simply this. The essence is not so much in the name, the essence is in the product. But that isn't necessarily true when you delve into spiritual things. So what's in a name? Our names are very important, but sometimes we get mixed up. One summer at the Ridgecrest Conference, the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Jackson, Mississippi, was being introduced by a man by the name of Dr. A.V. Washburn. And when he got up to introduce the pastor, Dr. Washburn said something like this. He said, you know, we're glad to have our visiting preacher for the week. And he's here all week to preach the Word of God. He's the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Jackson, Tennessee. He got the state wrong. It was Mississippi. And when the quick-thinking pastor stood to the pulpit, he said, dear friend, I want to correct you. I'm the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Jackson, Mississippi. That's all right, Dr. Washpot, isn't it? You see, names are very important. And the pattern prayer begins with the name of God. Indeed, the first three petitions are concerned with God and His glory, and the second three petitions are concerned with man and his need. Do you see how our Lord Jesus Christ begins this prayer? Do you see what our first concern in prayer should be? Our first matter in prayer should be, it's not our sin, it's not ourselves, it's not the situation that confronts us at this very moment. My dear friends, the prayer doesn't begin by focusing on you. The prayer begins by focusing on God. Our Lord says that our greatest and that our first concern in prayer should be that the Lord's name should be hallowed. See what he says in verse 9. Hallowed be thy name. We must never forget that. Our first concern as we come to the throne of grace in prayer is not to feel better. Our first concern when we come to the throne of grace in prayer is not to feel blessed. True prayer always puts God right at the center of the picture. Arthur Pink says this. How clearly then is the fundamental duty in prayer set forth? He says, self in all its needs must be given a secondary place. The Lord freely must be accorded the preeminence in our thoughts, our desires, our supplication. This petition must take the precedence. For the glory of God's name is the ultimate end of all things. Now, is that how you begin in prayer? Do you put God at the center of the picture? Is the glory of God your first concern when you come to the throne of grace in prayer? The Lord Jesus said, hallowed be thy name. Now, you may have heard that phrase or said that phrase many, many times, but do you know what it means? Do you know what is implied when someone says, hallowed be thy name? Many of us stood in the classroom or in the assembly hall. Thank God those years are gone. But many of us stood every morning and we prayed this prayer, hallowed be thy name. Some people think it's like saying, long live the Queen, or that it's some epitaph attached to the name of God to give homage. However, when Christ said, hallowed be thy name, he was saying something that was rich in meaning. I want to suggest to you three things through this petition this morning. First of all, I want to suggest to you that in this petition, the character of God is revealed. The character of God is revealed. You know, of course, that in the Bible, names always meant something. For example, Jacob means cheater. It means schemer. It means manipulator. It means deceiver. And you remember that time when Jacob met with God at Peniel and his name was changed to Israel, which means Prince of Israel or Prince with God or Power with God. Simon meant something. The day the Lord Jesus met Simon Peter, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonas. Thou shalt be called Cephas." Thou art Simon, unstable, vacillating. Thou shalt be called Cephas. Thou shalt be called rock-like. The name of God means something. It represents his character. It represents his essence. It represents his nature. You see, here, my dear friends, we have a revelation of God. The psalmist says, "They who know thy name will put their trust in thee." Now, if the word name is literally to mean God's name itself, we would simply be saying that everyone who knows the word God puts their trust in him. That's not true. You see, this word name stands for all that God is. The psalmist is saying, those who perceive the fullness of God, those who perceive who God is, put their trust in him. When a person comes to understand the Lord's character, the Lord's nature, they put their trust in him. David said, "I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High." That word name simply means all that God is. You remember how our Lord Jesus Christ prayed in his great high priestly prayer. He said, "I have manifested thy name unto the men whom thou hast given me." What did Christ mean when he said, "I have manifested thy name"? Well, Christ revealed who God was, did he not? You remember that the Lord Jesus said to Philip, Philip said, "Show us the Father." And the Lord Jesus said to Philip, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." Jesus Christ is the manifestation. He's the revelation of all that God is. And so when we come into the presence of God and we say, "Hallowed be thy name," we respect God for who he is, not just his name. Christ is referring to the person of God, the character of God, as is set forth in the scripture. And so in biblical times, this word name meant more than it means to us today. We just give our children names to identify them, to mark them out. But in Bible times, this word had much more of a significance. Hallowed be thy name. Now, the interesting thing here is this. The Lord Jesus didn't specify which of God's names should be hallowed. You know, we learn much about God from the names in the Bible. Do you remember some of the names that God gives to us about himself in the Old Testament? Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Makadish, the Lord who sanctifies. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. He never leaves us. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. You all know Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who is my shepherd. Jehovah Shabbat, the Lord of hosts. You know something, dear friends? If we took one of those names every day by hallowing it, we would develop such a better understanding of who God is. Let me ask you this morning as a Christian, do you have a sin problem? Then you need Jehovah, said Kenyu, who is your righteousness. Do you have a problem this morning being as holy as God is holy? Then you need Jehovah Makadish, who is your sanctification. Maybe you've stepped into this building this morning and you're anxious about someone. Then you need Jehovah Shalom, who is your peace. Could it be this morning that though there are lots of people in your life and in your family, you feel desperately lonely, then you need Jehovah Shema, the Lord who is present, the Lord who is always there for you. Maybe you're going through a time of physical weakness and weariness, then you need Jehovah Rapha, your healer. Maybe you've got needs in your family this morning, material needs and mental needs and intellectual needs, then you need Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. Maybe at some time in your life, you're not really sure who you are in the kingdom of God. Then you need Jehovah Nissi, the Lord who is your banner. Maybe you're here this morning and you're wondering, how can I face the problems that this week will bring? Then you need Jehovah Rapha, the shepherd, the one who will guide you, protect you, nourish you, and meet your need. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel the heat of the battle. Then you need Jehovah Shabbat, the Lord of hosts. My dear friends, are these names not reassuring? They speak to us of the attributes of God. They speak to us of God in all His fullness, in all His completeness. They tell us who God really is. And yet God's greatest revelation of Himself was the gift of His Son, the Lord Jesus. The writer to the Hebrews says, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake unto the fathers in times past by the prophets hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. I mean, is the New Testament this morning not full of the descriptive names of Jesus Christ? He's the bread of life. He's the water of life. He's the way, the truth, the life. He's the resurrection. He's the good shepherd. He's the branch. He's the bright and the morning star. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now listen, when we rehearse the names of God, when we rehearse the names of Jesus Christ, we're not just doing a little bit of memorization. We're getting a big picture of who God is, who He really is. And we praise that part of God's nature that is closest to the greatest need that we have at that moment. We hallow His name and we grow in appreciation of His character. Hallowed be Thy name. We have a revelation of God. But look again, we have a respect for God. You say, what does the word hallow mean? When some people think of the word hallow, they think about Halloween. Others might think of musty churches and mournful musics. But the Greek word hallow comes from a Greek verb which means holy. And when the Lord Jesus said, say this, pray this way, hallowed be Thy name, He was simply saying, holy be Thy name. The scholars tell us that in biblical Greek this word had two meanings. One is to take the ordinary and tie it into something extraordinary, and by that relationship the ordinary becomes something extraordinary. Like the man who entered his mule in the Kentucky Derby over in the United States. One man looked at him and said, hey, what are you doing that for? He says, that old mule of yours hasn't got a chance in the world of winning the race. The other man said, I know it, but the company will do him so much good. You see, before a person becomes a Christian, and then he comes linked to God through saving faith in Jesus Christ. Before he becomes a Christian, he is unholy. But then he becomes holy through his relationship with God. He comes into contact with God who is all holy. Are we making God holy through our prayers? Never. God cannot be made more holy. He cannot be made more righteous. He cannot be made more pure than He is. God's name is already holy. And so that leaves us with the other possibility. We take that name, we set it apart, we reverence it, we exalt it, we lift it high. My friends, to hallow God's name is to give to God the reverence, the honor, the glory, the praise, the exaltation which His character demands. Now, do we not have to confess this morning that this petition usually receives our least attention when we come to the throne of grace in prayer? Isn't it all so easy for us to be consumed with our own needs, our work and our worries and our homes and our families? That what the Lord Jesus sets before us, remember it's Christ who's talking here. What the Lord Jesus sets before us hardly gets a mention. And yet was this not the consuming passion of the Lord Jesus? He said, I have glorified Thee on earth. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest Me out of the world. He was always concerned about the glory of His Father. He says, I seek not My own glory. I wonder, is the hallowing of God's name, the glory of God's person, uppermost in your mind when you come to pray, isn't it? You see, this saves us from being too sentimental and will protect us from being sentimental about God as our Father. Because look at the petition that comes before it that we looked at last week. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You see these words, hallowed be thy name. Immediately follow the words, our Father. Did you know that some preachers are telling us today that we should address the Lord as Dad? That's what they're telling us. That we should come into the presence of God and say, Papa. And people today are dragging God in down into some kind of a buddy. My friend, I'm here to tell you this morning that God's not your buddy. Sure, there is intimacy, our Father, but there is respect. Hallowed be thy name. And it's this balance of intimacy and awe that Christ brings before us in this first petition. There's a respect for God. My dear friends, has reverence for God not gone in all our churches? One man said that when he went to visit Lenin's tomb in Moscow, he learned that when you queue up and you're in the line, you're not allowed to speak to anyone. There's Russian soldiers standing 2 or 3 feet apart and you're to zip your lips. He says, when I got in there, and he says, I filed past the human remains of Lenin. He said, I discovered that I had never seen such reverence in all of my life as those people had for a dead leader. All the reverence, he said, as they passed by his remains. How much more reverence and honor and glory should we have for his name? In this petition, there is a revelation of the character of God. The character of God is revealed. Secondly, look again at it. In this petition, the character of God is revealed. In this petition, the child of God is reminded. He's reminded that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. You see, this petition, this first petition reminds us to glorify God in our worship. For when we pray, hallowed be thy name, we're asking, cause us to worship thee, Lord, with holy reverence and with holy fear. My dear friends, such is God's majestic holiness that the sinless angels in heaven cannot contemplate the Lord without reverent worship. You remember that Isaiah recalled his vision. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. He says, one seraph cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And at the sight of that vision, the prophet was smitten with godly fear. He cried out, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. And mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. My dear friends, listen. Is holy reverence not the essence of worship? And do we not recognize that every time we pray, hallowed be thy name? Here's what God says in the Old Testament. God says, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. That is, I will be sanctified, exalted with that worship which I have appointed. You ever think of the things that pass for worship this morning? Pomp. The exhibition of the flesh. The countless repetition of some song or hymn where the Lord's name is not even mentioned. Charismatic healers dragging people who supposedly are healed along the ground, flag waving as people run up and down the aisles of churches. Hallowed be thy name. Brethren and sisters, we need to be careful about innovations in worship. For our worship needs to be regulated by the precepts and the prohibitions and the principles and the patterns of Scripture. And when we say, hallowed be thy name, it means that we glorify God in our worship. But that's not all, that we glorify God in our words. Little girl went to Sunday school for the very first time. She had never heard the story of Jesus before. And when they got through sharing it with her, she said to them, "Why is the name of such a sweet and precious baby used as a curse word? Do Christians take the name of the Lord in vain?" One thing is sure this morning, the Jews had such a frame of mind, they had such a sense of the greatness and glory of God, that it became custom and jury not even to take this name Jehovah. My dear friends, the name Jehovah was so sacred to the Jewish people that some Bible scholars tell us that the only time they used that name was when the high priest went through the veil into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement and whispered the name Jehovah. The Jewish people never spoke that name audibly. In fact, my dear friends, when a Jewish scribe was translating the scriptures, when he was translating the Old Testament, and he came to the name of Jehovah, you know what he would do? He would set down the pen, he would set down the quill, and he would take a new pen. When he came to the name of Jehovah, he would leave his room, and he would go and bath himself, he would go and shower himself. What a contrast to the day and hour in which we live. For the tragedy today is this: the name of God is defiled in society in so many ways that it's exasperating. The name of God and His Son is held up and ridiculed. It's used as a swear word. It's used disrespectfully on television, sometimes even carelessly by Christians. Listen, God says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Means to be irreverent. What about your tongue this morning? Do you need to ask God to clean up your speech? Do you need to ask God to give you the right words when you come before Him in prayer? The teacher's the Savior now. If you have any arguments, talk to Him about it. We need to glorify God in our worship. We need to glorify God in our words. Listen, we need to glorify God in our walk. Do you know what Paul said concerning the Jews? He says, "The name of God is blasphemed through you." Just think of it. Because of their inconsistent, ungodly, unattractive lives, the name of God was dishonored. My dear friends, in the early days, one of the ways in which the Christian faith spread so fastly and quickly and conquered the world was that the individual believer was living such a life of beauty and holiness and godliness and honesty and integrity that others wished to discover the secret of their lives. You see, when we pray, "Hallowed be thy name," we're saying, "Lord, let us not do anything that is unworthy of the great holy name of God." We express our desire to walk worthy of God. A famous German pagan philosopher said a thing which throws a challenge at the feet of every professing Christian. He says, "Show me that you are redeemed, and then I will believe in your Redeemer. Show me that you are redeemed, and then I'll believe in your Redeemer." You reveal the name and character of God by the books that you read. Hallowed be thy name. By the music that you listen to, hallowed be thy name. By the habits that you practice, hallowed be thy name. By the places that you frequent, hallowed be thy name. By the relationships that you form, hallowed be thy name. Does your lifestyle reflect the character and the glory of God? My friends, listen, we're living in a messed up society. The Church of Scotland last night late said that the guy in Aberdeen who's living with another man can be the minister in the church. A homosexual minister in the Church of Scotland. The name of God brought into disrepute and dishonor and disgrace. And my dear friends, there may come a time in this province when, with increasing European influence, some may be put in prison because of their stand against homosexuality and because they're unashamed to denounce it. Hallowed be thy name. Glorifying God in our worship, in our words, in our walk, in our witness. I mean, when we stand in the open air, some will stand in Lime Grove and some of the choir will go to Portrush. What's your first aim? What is your first aim? Is it the glory of God? Is it the glory of Christ? Is it only to be seen of men? Alan Redpath reminds us that the only reason that God doesn't take us to heaven at conversion the moment that He saves us is so that we can spend the rest of our lives in reverence of that name so that others can be brought to Jesus Christ. Was that not the attitude of John the Baptist? He was content to be eclipsed that Christ might shine. He said, He that cometh after me is before me. He says, I'm but the herald. He's the prince. I'm the lesser star. He's the sun. I baptize with water, but He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Is that your attitude? He must increase. I must decrease. He must wax. I must wane. He must become more and more. I must become less and less. Savior says, after this manner therefore pray, Our Father, we come to God in prayer, we come to the Father, we come through the Son, we come by the Holy Spirit. We're Trinitarian in our worship. And we come saying, Our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In this petition, the character of God is revealed. In this petition, the child of God is reminded. But thirdly and quickly, in this petition, the comfort of God is realized. You say to me this morning, why is it so important to hallow the name of God? Why is it so important to glorify the person of God? Let me say two reasons in closing. One, because of the consolation we will experience. Two, because of the commendation we will receive. Many of you will not remember here Pastor Jim Irvin, but some of the older ones will remember him. And when he was dying, when he was leaving this scene of time, my father was very, very anxious to meet with him for the last time. They had been good friends down their life, and so I brought my dad up to Newcastle, and the two of them sat there, and I just sat and listened. And I sat and listened as they reminisced about the good old days. And then Jim Irvin said, Jack, he said, I'm not going to get better, you know. One of these days soon, the Lord's going to take me out of the scene of time. But he said, I want to say this to you. He says, as I look back over the ministry, as I look back over the journey, I've no regrets. Won't it be great, Christian friend, to be able to get to the end of the journey and say, I've no regrets. Do you remember what Christ's comfort was before He died on the cross at Calvary? Just hours before the cross. Just hours before He went to Gethsemane, to Gabbatha, to Golgotha. Do you know what His comfort was? I have glorified Thee on the earth. Here was Christ's comfort in death. That He had hallowed God's name. That He had brought glory to God. Will this be your comfort at death? When you stand on the threshold of eternity and you look back, what will you see? Will you see that you love Christ with all your heart, that you praise Christ with your lips, that you honored Him with your life? Will your conscience bear witness to you that right throughout your life you hallowed the name of God and glorified the person of God? I want to tell you, if you did, what sweet peace and consolation that will give you in the hour of death. To be able to say with Hezekiah, remember, Lord, how I have walked before Thee with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in Thy sight. Oh, my dear friends, you'll know the comfort of God, but you'll not only receive, experience His consolation, you will receive His commendation. Do you know something? There's nothing lost by what we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. If we bring honor to the name of God, He will honor us. As Balak said to Balaam, am I not able to promote thee to honor? Just in the same way, if you and I as Christian believers honor the name of God, He's able to promote us to honor. He will honor us in death. He'll honor us in life. He says, them that honor me, I will honor. He'll honor us in life. He'll honor us in death. He'll honor us at the judgment seat of Christ. He will say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou in to the joy of thy Lord. Now, are you ready for that day of examination? You say, I'm not going to die soon, are you not? Friday night, just a few yards down the road from us, a young man died. Some of these boys on motorbikes all hyped up because of last weekend. Launched into eternity. You ready for that day of examination? Have you hallowed his name? Have you glorified God in your worship, in your words, in your walk, in your witness? Have you glorified God in everything? When we are called upon to stand before the Lord someday, will we anticipate his praise or dread what he will say? The Lord Jesus said, after this manner, therefore pray ye. And yet, dear friends, I look at my own prayer life and I hear the prayers of others. Seldom at times is the glory of God even mentioned. Yet the Lord Jesus said, hallowed be thy name, for in this petition the character of God is revealed, the child of God is reminded, and the comfort of God is realized. D.L. Moody gave one of his gospel invitations one night after he had preached the gospel. A young man came forward to the altar. Moody went over and stood beside him and he said, "What, son, what caused you to come to Christ tonight?" The young man said, "Sir, it wasn't so much your good message. It was my godly mother. Her favorite verse was this, 'I am crucified with Christ, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.'" He said, you know, my mother not only loved that verse, she lived that verse. I wonder when an unconverted, unregenerate, unsaved world in your workplace, in your neighborhood, when they look at your life, do they see you hallowing God's name? Do they see you glorifying God's person?